This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Welcome back, DGS on KMOX 204. Happy Tuesday. Absolutely beautiful out there. I think we have a little bit of sprinkles coming in tomorrow, but I think it's supposed to be like 66. Have you guys noticed? I have to talk to Dave and Chambers about this. It always seems like they under forecast, you know? I'm not sure. Maybe for meteorologists, it's way worse to say it's going to be 70 and it's only 68. But it always seems to be a little bit hotter, a little bit colder. Anyway, I watched way too much of the weather. I know this is just like drinking out of a fire hose, spitball and stuff here. But I was thinking about something that really bothers me. And I bet this really bothers Wheeler. I don't go to many meetings anymore. But when I used to, I hated this. Good morning. Good morning. Oh, we can do better than that.
Just shoot me.
Yes.
I'm not eight.
It, like, whatever you have to say to me, I don't care.
What if I can't do better than that?
Right.
What if I just gave you everything I've got?
Yeah, what if I gave you more than I got? Like, I didn't want to say good morning to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't do that ever to adults. Like, you want to do that in, like, grade school. Good morning, class. Everybody's like, good morning, Miss Crabapple. That's fine.
But so many people do. Because they've read some stupid Dale Carnegie book or something that says, like, start with a joke or start with this. And, like, no, everyone hates that. Except whatever douchers are in the audience.
The best advice I would give in being in meetings is get to the point right away.
Yes.
The last thing anybody, I mean, and I can't believe the people leading meetings want to be doing the meeting. I mean, I think that it's more of a necessity than a desire.
I don't know. I may disagree with that.
You think some people want to perform?
Yeah. Because I think a lot of people who put on meetings, that is a big, sort of like the Elon Musk, tell me five things you did this week. I think that's a big part of what they do. And so I think they want to have meetings so they can go like, oh, I had a meeting. And then I think a lot of those people, sorry to misjudge, but they are those people. I think you can do better. Good morning.
I do think there might be like an older playbook out there that maybe used to work in a different time, because I don't think those things work for people as much anymore. Because most people, when it gets a little bit off track or it gets a little silly, they immediately start to daydream. Like, okay.
One thing I've always hated
is, you don't want to lose people, I guess, is my point. So get to the point.
If you're in a meeting that you know is going to be like an hour or more, and when someone says, so we're going to discuss this, returns on your investment, but I'll get to that later. Like, just them saying, we'll get to that later, I'm just like, oh, there's later.
Oh, there's so many YouTube videos like that where it's like, oh, I want to look up how to do this thing. And then you start watching it and then it's like, but first, a little about me. Here's where my career started. And I'm like, I don't care. I just want to.
I'll say this as well.
See the title of the video.
I'm being pissy about this. I know that there are meetings that matter.
Oh, yeah.
Like when doctors have a meeting to say like, okay, we're switching shifts on the ER, this person, blah, 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 blah. But in the businesses I've been in, 75% of meetings, like, they don't really need to happen. Would you guys agree with that?
I think a lot of them need to happen. I think a lot of them could be more efficient, right? Like, what's the most important thing? Do that first. And I'm just thinking practically, right, as somebody that's hearing information, if you give me the most important stuff right out of the gate, I'm not going to forget it. I'm not going to tune out. Like, you have an audience, and, I mean, the idea is, how do you keep an audience, right? I mean, if you're performing, like, say you're a comedian, well, you better be funny right out of the gate. You can't be like, I'm going to be funny in 10 minutes. Right now, it's going to be a build-up to that. Like, that, unless you're already famous, that's not going to work, right? I mean, if you're already a superstar and people know what to expect down there, like, that's different. But you got to grab the audience first. It's like what we do.
Yeah.
I mean, if you came in and said, hey, we're going to get to some really fun stuff in 10 minutes, but right now it's going to be the boring. Everybody's like, all right, well, I'll tune you out for a little bit. Like, that's just simple. Grab the audience as fast as you can so that you don't lose them.
Dave says, if you work at a Silver Dollar City, you never accept the first howdy. When addressing a group, example, howdy, folks. I said, howdy, folks.
That's fine at a theme park.
Especially Silver Dollar City.
Yeah. Like, it's, yeah, exactly.
I've never been to Silver Dollar City.
Neither have I. I'm just judging.
Yeah. But I mean, it's called that. So, you know, it's kind of the vibe they're giving off.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, again, if that's at Disney, all right. I mean, you know, it's a theme park.
Paul brings up a good one. He says, does anyone try to read recipes but have to wade through the story of my life with broccoli first?
Oh.
That is annoying. You're like,
yes, oh, get to it.
I need to learn how to make this, like, casserole recipe. And then you find it and it's like, but first, let me tell you about the first time I made this recipe in 1997.
I've said this before, and maybe I just didn't read articles before, but I was taught in the high school journalism classes I had, like, tell them what you're going to talk about. Here's the Shells beat the Oilers 25-8. And when I see articles like, this one food can stave off Alzheimer's, I'm like, oh, tell me the food. And it takes you 3/4 of the way down the article before they tell you it's kumquats or whatever.
Because it's completely changed. Those journalism rules existed for pre-internet times. But now the goal is to keep you on a page for as long as possible.
Yeah, or to get you to do as many click-throughs, right?
Yeah.
That's why you'll see a lot of those articles you're talking about, those listicles, where it'll be a different link, different page for each thing. So, like, okay, the first page has got this info. Click for the next page. Because those clicks are what they're getting selling ads on.
Yeah.
So they drag it out. And then at the end, it's like, wait a minute. It's like, you guys know those videos on TikTok where, like, can't believe I just saw that. And then there's nothing there. And everybody's comment is like, yeah, I saw nothing. There's nothing in your video. But they do that. They're like, wait till the end.
Yeah.
And you're like, there's nothing there.
I've finally figured that out. I was the guy who's like, this kind of sucks, yeah. But at the end, I'll see a Bigfoot.
Yeah.
You know, and then 2 or 3 of those, you're like.
Well, first of all, as soon as you see wait till the end, I just fast forward to the end.
Yeah.
Because if you're telling me to wait and it says 45 seconds, why am I going to watch the 45 seconds?
Another bad one, I know this bothers most people, but as soon as I see a TikTok by anyone that says, I don't know who needs to hear this, I'm just like, not me.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't know who needs to hear this. Good, shut up.
I do like the ones that are like, this is for people who blank and for people who blank only. If that's not you, you can keep scrolling.
Yeah.
Like, yep. Those are pretty
Zip.
Cute.
Bye.
Yeah, I saw one, like, it was a soldier in the field, and he said, if you're not Sabrina Carpenter, keep scrolling. I'm like, well, I'm going to watch this.
I made a TikTok for one person.
Last night I was watching TikToks and I was in the zone and I was like, I saw the news and it was about Bennington and I've never played hockey in my life. I can't skate to save my life. But I decided in that moment I would have been a great goalie. And I had this emotional experience like I had been. And then I was watching a TikTok and it was the astronauts in space, the ones who haven't come home yet.
Sonny and Butch.
And I was like, I would have been a great astronaut. I would have been the worst astronaut.
Yeah.
I have claustrophobia. Dave,
can I get up there without going on the rocket?
I can't do math. I would have been the world's worst astronaut. But for like 30 seconds, I'm like,
I feel like you would struggle with the zero gravity stuff.
I would struggle with every bit of it.
How about the rocket ride?
Eating the stuff? No. I can't
even like to fly in a plane.
I can't fly to Chicago.
but I'm going to be an astronaut.
I would have been an incredible astronaut.
If I were Sonny or Butch, everyone on that ship would be dead by now because I would have just lost my mind.
What if you could be an astronaut without the rocket part and then we come up with like a regular space shuttle or something that goes up there like a plane? Is that going to be just as bad because it's a plane?
The claustrophobia. Just the whole, like, there are different kinds of claustrophobia. There's, like, I don't want to be stuck in a closet or a locker and held there. But then there's also the you can't leave.
Yeah.
Even if the space station were plenty big.
Yeah.
Like, you're here. That would screw with me.
That would be tough.
What if it was on a planet? What if they sent you to Mars?
It would have to be so much like Earth.
Like, they've already terraformed and have a city. I'll
be good.
I have such
a narrow band of what I could do with.
Dave has so many qualifications for his astronaut career.
Yes.
Like, there'd be many accommodations that would have to be made in order for you to agree to do it.
So here's the deal.
We really want this guy, so I guess we're going
to. I really want to be an astronaut, but I'm not super bright. And I can't do anything beyond simple fractions. And I'm claustrophobic. Like, oh, come on in.
Don't like flying.
Don't like flying at all.
Brian says, I like how the astronauts are saying we don't feel abandoned at all. If that were me, I would be like, what the hell is going on? We were supposed to be here for 8 days. Great point.
Yeah, they're lying.
They're being really nice and like very gracious because they probably don't. I mean, what are they going to do? Like, complain about it while they're up in space and risk them taking even longer to come and get them?
Oh, but you guys are unhappy? Huh? Enjoy
what a
another
terrible
month.
Situation.
Yeah. I'd be writing a book when I got back, boy. Light them up. Light them up.
Wheeler in space.
Light them up.
Brian also says, you just know those astronauts are getting tired of each other.
Oh. Can you imagine if us on the show?
Oh, man. I love you guys, but I would go insane.
Andrew floating around, what's everyone doing today? You know, just like eating applesauce. It's getting all over everybody. Right.
You'd guys be shooting me out the airlock pretty quick.
You have to stop talking.
Like, Wheeler's a UFO right out there.
You know what we need to do? We need to do a spacewalk. Wheeler, you got it. We're going to cut the cord.
Click.
We're going to cut that cord.
Yeah, I'm not above killing someone.
And also, just the food has got to be terrible, right? Because it's all freeze-dried and stuff, and all, like, it's just sauce. It just comes in, like, a squeezable packet.
We're going to have paste for lunch and some paste for dinner.
I mean, it's the coolest job ever.
Yes.
I mean, Mark Kelly, the senator, the former astronaut, was on, that's where I came from. He was on a show last night talking about stuff. I really like that guy. It's just like, I know I'm the same species as these people, but I really don't feel like I am. Does that make sense? Or like surgeons, like just people are betters. You know, the people who do these amazing things, I don't feel like they're a better version of me. I feel like I'm a dog or something.
You're a dog.
Dave's like, I'm their pet.
Woof, woof.
I mean.
Want me to go get your newspaper? I got you.
You know, like if the apocalypse hit. I can probably still pick up some pretty heavy things and maybe make you laugh, but that's it. I got no other skills.
Hmm.
Nothing marketable. I'm not fixing anything, not building anything.
I get what you're saying. I have no skills. I think about that all the time. I'm just like, I hope this radio thing works out.
No, but you do have skills. You make things happen. You have discipline and you're really good at, hey, this needs to happen and doing things to make it happen. I just walk around the halls and worry about stuff. If you need that, I'm your boy.
Yeah, imagine if Dave were the astronaut stuck up there right now, like how much you would just be
ear-effing
ruminating
him.
On like, I've been up here for three, how long has it been? Like 6 months?
8 months,
point?
I think.
Oh, my God. Goodness. They're saints, those people.
Oh, they're very nice. I don't know if I could be that nice.
Welcome back, DGS. Jane saying hello from Bethalto, Illinois, home of my favorite pizza, Roma's Pizza. The best.
It's quite good.
Also, probably my actual favorite pizza of all time was this weird place. Like, I grew up in the boonies. And then there was a place even farther out in the country all by itself called Tony's Pizza. And that was my childhood pizza. And it was phenomenal. And just this past week, I ordered Bartolino's to be delivered. And I knew I loved it, but I didn't know why. And it's because it's the closest thing to Tony's pizza I've ever tasted. Like, it has a very, you've had it. It's a very specific taste. And it just struck me a couple nights ago. I'm like, oh, that's what it is.
Nice.
That's Tony's.
I got a pizza this weekend. Detroit-style pizza from Jets.
Never had it.
Yeah, those are good.
I got black olives on it for the first time in, like, forever. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. It was so good. And I thought as I was eating it, I was like, Dave would hate this because it's so salty like that and pepperoni. It would have just been too much. But it was like, man, you got to broaden your horizons with the pizza toppings every once in a while. Because I usually get the same thing over and over. But those olives, they were awesome.
I'm very adventurous. Sometimes I get sausage and hamburger.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One green pepper or one olive of any kind ruins everything.
Yep. I'm okay. I'm more okay with the green peppers. I can just, you know, flick those off and it's fine. Because I don't mind the taste that it leaves behind. I just don't want to eat them.
Ooh.
I don't like crunching on them. I don't like the
My
flavor.
Mom and dad used to, I started to say raise them. They were pepper farmers. But we had a little dinky garden, which I thought was so cool, where we had tomatoes and peppers. But there was always green peppers. See, that's the difference in my parents' generation and my generation. Like, they grew stuff they liked. The boy didn't like green peppers. It's like, well, it sucks to be you. Whereas if we had a garden, it would be everything Phoebe and Nick liked.
Yeah.
Neither are good, but they're just opposites.
Yeah.
Like, just total opposites. There's like never one time where my parents like turned around in the backseat and they're like, where would you like to go?
That's a good point.
What? Which is kind of nice. It took away all of your decision making. Yeah. You're just like, well.
Then you could never be at fault if something went
wrong. At least I made it in the car this time. Razor's Edge?
Yeah, so I want to talk about this February 28th economic blackout that is planned for this Friday, February 28th. And the idea is to go 24 hours refraining from buying goods from major retailers.
I can do that.
And this is a way to kind of speak out against rising prices on everything from gas to groceries. You know, eggs are super pricey. And people are saying, like, this is to unite Americans against the corruption and greed that has kept us struggling for decades. It's an attempt to hit the billionaires where it counts. So you really want to refrain from shopping at Amazon, Walmart, huge places like this.
Think it'll make a dent?
You know, it just depends on how many people do it. There's always going to be people who are like, I'm not interested in the boycott. I'm just going to shop as usual. But if, you know, millions and millions of people in the United States decide to unite and do this, I think it could make a little
bit
of a
First I've heard of it. They need some better marketing.
Yeah. They're saying for our entire lives, they've told us we have no choice. This is just how things are. We have to accept these insane prices, the corporate greed, the billionaire tax breaks, all while we struggle just to get by. For one day, we're going to finally turn the tables. So they don't want you to buy Amazon, Walmart, like I said, no fast food, no gas, not a single unnecessary dollar spent. Now, there's exceptions carved out for, like, if you need medicine or emergency supplies, no one's going to say, no, you can't get your medicine today. But the idea is to target major retailers and hit them in the pocketbooks by using our pocketbooks to fight back. So
I'm in.
Yeah, except that if I'm a billionaire, you're just going to buy that stuff the next day. That's how I'd look at it if I were them. You'll do the one day because you'll do the symbolic thing, but you're still going to buy the thing. You're just going to wait a day to do it. You won't go out to eat today. You'll go out tomorrow. That's how I would look at it if I were them.
Mm-hmm.
And you know why I would look at it that way if I were them? Because that's how we always are.
Yeah.
We'll make a little bit of noise. And I mean, like, you guys know it's my, I don't even know what I call it, my go-to. We're too busy fighting left and right to realize we really should be fighting up and down. And up is kicking our asses. They are kicking our asses because we don't even realize who we're fighting. So one day, I mean, I wish people would take that fight. I wish people would realize who the actual people are that are taking from you what you could use, who are using up all the resources, the financial resources. I really wish people would realize that. One day doesn't change it. And if I'm a billionaire, I'd be like, fine, you'll just be back tomorrow.
Don't you think maybe a better approach would be to, okay, instead of boycotting the major retailers for one day, I'm instead going to make it a point to shop local as much as I possibly can.
Absolutely.
Every day.
But everybody, everybody, and that makes way more sense, right? If I'm going to say, hey, you know what I'm going to do? It'll cost me a little bit more, but they're not getting anything. I'm going to do this for the next 3 months. Maybe a little louder message,
Welcome back.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's DGS 232. Really excited to have my next guest in studio. His name is Ben Schmidt. He goes by Doc Schmidt online. He has a million followers and has hundreds of millions of views. Been really successful at that. We go way back. Haven't seen each other since 2015 when he and his siblings won the DGS Film Festival. And his brother Luke went through school with Nick. And I used to take Luke to the movies and stuff all the time. So we go way back. It's good to see you.
Thanks for having me. Thanks.
Yeah.
It's lovely to be here.
So catch me up. Like, as you know, I'm basically a doctor as well, so it's good to meet a colleague. Mm-hmm. Like, talk to me about the whole thing. Like, whatever's interesting to you from, because I'm fascinated, like, medical school, not done yet. You got your residency, not done yet. Not going to pay you yet. You have to do a fellowship. I'll pay you a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like, it's taken you a really long time to get to attending status.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a long road. Back in 2015, when I did that film festival, I was in med school at that time. Med school's 4 years. Then for me, I did my residency afterwards in internal medicine. That takes 3 years. And then after that, I wanted to be a GI specialist, a gastroenterologist, and that's another 3 years after that. So I finally finished my training just back in 2023, and now I'm practicing as a attending physician here in St. Louis with ESSA Health, and I've just been doing that for about a year and a half to 2 years now.
What is... Like in law school, there were like tricks, you know, like you just got to get a good outline and in exams, focus on this, don't focus on that. Are there similar things in med school or is it just like, nope, you just got to do the drudgery.
There's a ton to know for sure, but there's always tricks for sure. I mean, there's mnemonics where there's just, you know, weird ways that we remember things. Like there's weird words that we remember to kind of keep us keyed into the most important things for tests and that kind of thing. But the problem is as you go further along, it's less test based and it's more just you have to know as much as you can. So you start having to just have as much experience. That's why, you know, sometimes you're looking at 80 hour work weeks and things like that in residency, just to see the sheer numbers of patients and do the number of procedures to, you know how to do a colonoscopy, that kind of stuff.
And is it designed to weed people out who don't have the chops?
I think college is maybe designed to weed people out in the sense of we don't want people getting into medical school who don't really know what they're getting into and that kind of thing. But once you're in medical school, you actually, in a lot of cases now at least, you have a lot of support because they want you to succeed. You're someone who can make a big difference in society, someone who can help people. So you have support there. It's just getting there that's really the weeding out.
What was the most difficult part for you?
For me, I mean, residency is probably the most grueling each step of the way, just because of the sheer number of hours and the sheer number of knowledge you have to learn so quickly. Because just as an intern, suddenly you're a doctor, even though you're not allowed to be independent. You have that MD behind your name and you can, you know, order narcotics for people. You know, you can set them up for a procedure. So suddenly you have all this pressure. So being able to, you know, handle that pressure and use that responsibility in the right way is just very intimidating.
Is it easier on docs these days for residency? Have they made it more humane, or maybe even just from liability purposes? You don't want people doing 24-hour shifts back to back, or is it just as difficult as it's always been?
They've definitely made changes in the sense of hour restrictions. So for example, you can't work more than 80 hours per week, which is a ton of hours just in and of itself. But what's tricky is that's averaged out over the course of a month. So you could work 100 hours one week as long as you work 60 hours the next. So it's still brutal conditions. And they say that it's harder now, even if you're not maybe working as many hours. What's tricky is medicine is so much more complicated now compared to maybe how it was in the 80s, because now you've got all these electronic medical records. Patients are so much more complicated. We have all these, honestly, new diseases. Patients are sicker than ever. They're more obese than ever. So there's just so much more chronic disease and patients have so much more to handle. So that's really where I think the complexity comes into
play. That's really interesting. Like when I was born in 64, so when I was a kid, it's not like there were less illnesses, but we weren't abusing our bodies the way we do today.
I think what we're learning is that, you know, obesity is just kind of one piece of the puzzle. We're learning, like, I'm a GI specialist, so I see a lot of liver disease, for example. So fatty liver disease is something that is part of a kind of continuum with hypertension and hyperlipidemia, high cholesterol. And all of that is sort of what we call a metabolic inflammatory syndrome that all kind of synergizes with all these conditions, which makes someone so sick and so prone to get heart disease and all of these complications.
So we're talking to my old friend, Ben Schmidt. Haven't seen him in 10 years. He goes by Doc Schmidt on YouTube and Instagram and TikTok and Facebook. Weird analogy. But when I was 25 years old, I went snow skiing and didn't take any lessons, just raw dogged it, did it brutally. But at some point, like on the second day, I was like, oh, okay, I get it. You lean and you this. Was there a time like that for you as a physician where you kind of went, all right, I think I got this?
I think there's different versions of that every step of the way. For me as a GI doctor, I'm doing colonoscopies as a big part of what I do. So to use that analogy, there is some kind of swinging back and forth as you're trying to go through the colon and get around the twists and the turns. So sometimes when you first start, it just feels impossible, all of these processes that you're trying to do, trying to, you know, get through someone's colon to navigate, to twist and turn. But when you, it all comes down to numbers, I think, for procedures. So for me, it was like once I got to around, you know, a couple hundred procedures, you start to see the tricks when your boss, your attending physician shows you enough times how to, you know, torque the scope, twist the scope, find your rhythm and kind of get around these tight turns. And you feel like you can actually do this properly. So maybe not my second day, but definitely
picks
up on it.
Every med student, every resident learns. Does every resident eventually teach as well? Is that just a part of the process of becoming an attending?
It's part of the process in the sense that you'll teach other medical students, because when you're a resident, typically you're in some level of a teaching hospital. So that's where there's going to be medical students there. There's going to be residents of all levels. But once you kind of move out of that, you might be less around that atmosphere. So I'm in private practice with ESSA Health here in St. Louis, for example, where I work with medical students every once in a while, but it's not something where that's like a big part of my day. and you know, in teaching hospitals, the medical students are a big part of the process, and we need the medical students. We need the interns, or the hospital can't function. For me now, it's more of just something I do from time to time, just to, you know, be able to spread some knowledge. But it's not a every single day type thing for me.
Before we get into why you went GI, what was your least favorite rotation?
My least favorite rotation was definitely OBGYN. I did that first, and I kind of joke with people, but this is true. The first day I was sitting in, or participating, I guess, in a hysterectomy, and med students obviously get the worst jobs, and I'm sitting there holding a retractor and also holding the woman's leg to like allow the surgeons to remove the uterus. And it took 6-7 hours. I was standing the whole time. I was sweating the whole time under the hot lights, and we were done, and it was, I don't know, 9 a.m., and I fell asleep for 6 hours. I was like, I don't think I could ever do that again.
Wow. Just wrote that. So in law school, everyone wanted to be a litigator because that was the cool thing to be. Is it like that where most people, at least to some degree, want to be a surgeon, mm-hmm. and you have to kind of knock that out of them along the way?
I think orthopedic surgeon and dermatologist are probably the two, you know, they're the, I don't know, sexiest, the ones that people want to do the most. Surgeons have a reputation for being pretty tough, but orthopedic surgeons, a little bit more glamorous. That's like the jocks kind of stereotypically do that. And dermatology just has a nice lifestyle and kind of interesting pathology. So those are probably the most popular too.
Do you get to the point, again, I'm stuck in residency, do you get to the point when you have like back-to-back shifts or a really difficult shift where you're like, I don't know if I can do this? And if you do, what do you do?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, that's a big problem right now, is that kind of the buzzword of burnout. It's kind of pervaded other areas of the workforce as well, but I think it's really, really a problem in healthcare. So some of it is you just have to step away and kind of, you know, go the other way. That's sort of how I started making these videos. I mean, the videos I make are still about healthcare, but it's just a way to kind of unplug and kind of separate yourself from this, you know, this at times terrible job, just because of the really tough things that you have to experience, you know, the death, the struggle that people are going through, not able to afford their pills and then not able to, you know, keep going and other than being in the hospital. So it can just be so challenging. So for me, it's just being able to break away and step away from that. And, you know, you have your own residents there in the hospital that can kind of pick you up when you know, had a tough shift, you have a patient die on you, you're doing CPR for 15, 20 minutes on this patient, they die. And now you're expected to go right back down to the ER and see the next patient. But thankfully, if you're in a strong, nice, good residency program like I was, you have people able to pick you back up.
Yeah. So you guys have questions? I'm just completely...
I have a question. How often do you... how many colonoscopies do you do where you're like, wow, this person has really waited way too long? Or like, how many people on average are waiting too long to go get that done, I guess?
It's definitely something that we see in the sense of being late for getting screened. It's now recommended that everybody gets screened at age 45, if not earlier, if you have a family history. So I would say it's a daily basis that I'm seeing people who are coming in too late, in the sense that, you know, they're coming in at age 48 and they were supposed to come at 45. Luckily, it's much more rare that people, you know, have consequences to that, in the sense of, you know, having cancer and or having a million polyps in their colon that we have to remove. But I would say at least once a week, someone coming in with either a lot of polyps or a new cancer, and they ideally should have come in sooner for that procedure.
I have a rare distinction. I'm the only person I know who loved the prep for my colonoscopy.
Really? I don't hear that.
Dave likes to poop. Yeah. And drinking the stuff. This is before you did the double one. It was just one round.
Correct.
And everyone's like, are you okay? I'm like, I'm great.
Yeah, you're thriving.
I'm fine. They don't got to worry about me.
Yeah, that's kind of the number one thing patients tell me when they come in, that they never want to do that prep again. But then they get rewarded with a nice nap with the propofol that they get.
I did not like that.
Really? So you're just the complete opposite.
I'm the opposite. I felt like, of course, me, Mr. Everything's huge and existential. I thought as I was going out, oh, this must be what it's like to die.
Oh, wow.
Because it was just like, black.
Yeah,
you know.
That's what I hear. I've never had it. But I mean, we have people, especially when I did some of my training at the VA and just with PTSD or other experiences, there are some people who don't want to be put to sleep. So we do the procedure awake sometimes.
Yikes.
As well, which has its own problems.
Yeah,
no, thank you.
Wheels got anything?
So it's just interesting to me, because you think about all these, you mentioned symptoms of things, or you mentioned these things that work all together. How much should people look things up on their own, if they should at all? Obviously, the number one thing is always get to your doctor, get to the professionals and all that. But I feel like anytime there's something you look up, it's like, okay, here's seven things and they're all going to kill you.
Yeah, I mean, it is an intimidating prospect for sure, but I think being your own advocate is important. So I don't you know, chastise patients for trying to look things up on WebMD and figure out what's going on. I think that that's a good first step, but then not just going crazy and, you know, buying every supplement online from all the scammers that are out trying to get you.
Right.
I think then bringing that to your, that concern to your doctor and saying, hey, is this bad that's said on the internet? This could be bad. And then that's the doctor's role to say, hey, this is a little bit concerning. Let's get a colonoscopy, or no, this is totally fine. Let's just watch it. Let's, you know, have some more fiber, drink some more water, and just check in a couple of weeks kind of thing.
So tell us about your social media stuff you do.
Yeah, absolutely. So Doc Schmidt is my kind of handle that I go by on the different social media platforms. I started on TikTok kind of when it was what everybody was doing back in 2020 when the pandemic hit. I was seeing a lot of other doctors on social media. And obviously, as we talked about, I had some experience making short films when I was in med school, and even earlier, honestly, with my siblings, with my friends and classmates. So I thought I would give it a try. I started making some videos, poking fun at doctors, poking fun at the healthcare system, but also educating about colon cancer, about IBS, about other GI issues. And people just, it started to resonate with them. I started kind of doing silly skits where I would, you know, wear wigs and that kind of thing. But at the core, I think there is some seriousness to it, where I'm trying to humanize doctors and show patients that it's okay to seek help from a doctor. Doctors aren't out there to get you. Doctors want to help you. We're people too. And that's, people have resonated with that. I've been fortunate over the last 4 years. My platforms have grown to over 1 million followers across
Crazy.
YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook.
Will you give us a shout out?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm very excited to hopefully get everybody to check this out and learn more about Dave Glover. Right?
That's super cool. It's really good to see you.
Absolutely.
Likewise. So glad things have gone well.
Thank you. Thank
that's
you guys
great.
So much for having me.
That's Dr. Ben Schmidt. Find him at Doc Schmidt. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. 251 DGS. Rach, it's funny that you have on the Google Doc that you've been watching the Baldwins.
Oh, yeah.
Because I had on my Google Doc how much I loathe Hilaria Baldwin.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe I'm looking at that too myopically. Maybe I should be thankful that she exists and I can be entertained by her weirdness. You know what I'm saying?
She's certainly quite a strange person.
Yeah.
So last night I was like, I'm going to put on the Baldwins. I'm going to see what's going on, because I kept seeing the commercials for the show. And probably 10 minutes in, Kurt was like, can we turn this off? And I was like, no, I have to watch it now. Like, I was sucked in immediately. There's such strange people. There's been such like strange narratives surrounding Alec and Hilaria, namely the shooting.
Sure.
Which I'm pretty sure is the whole reason they're doing the show, is to kind of try to rehab their image after
which
the shooting.
Which, parenthetically, did you guys hear what just happened? A guy dressed like Trump confronted him and called him a murderer.
Yes.
And he said, if you didn't have a camera, I'd snap your neck right now, which is not great when someone accused you of being a murderer.
I mean, no one's acting right in that situation. Everyone's acting like a fool, and everyone needs to calm down in that situation. But there's also the controversy surrounding the fact that Hilaria was pretending to be Spanish, and then it turns out she wasn't, and they like kind of confronted that on the show. The whole thing is just super weird. It's great TV, I have to say. If you're interested in the story of the Baldwins at all, like, it is must watch.
If we did a Sweet 16 of weirdest, stickiest clips, the one where she forgets how to say onion.
It was cucumber.
Cucumber.
Yeah. Well, they tried to spin it on the show by saying, like, I was raised in two different cultures, and I speak English and I speak Spanish, and sometimes those mix together, and I think it's a beautiful thing. And I'm sitting there like, yeah, in theory, what a wonderful thing to say. Like, I agree wholeheartedly if that's what you're doing, but that's not what you were doing. You were trying to convince people that you were like raised in Spain and your primary language is Spanish, and you pretended you didn't know the English word for cucumber, even though that's your first language and you were born in Boston.
Yeah.
It's just really weird.
Yeah.
It's just fun to see, you know, I don't have any like animosity towards the Baldwins, even though I'm sitting here like calling them strange and calling them weird. I think those are like facts, that they're just like an odd family. But it's just really interesting to observe human behavior and see the way when someone kind of tries to wrestle the narrative back in their favor.
Yeah.
There's obviously a lot of production going on the show. And I don't know, I find it highly entertaining. And if you like reality TV, and again, if you are interested in them at all, I would say give it a chance.
We also couldn't pay you enough to watch, right?
Nope. Hate them all.
Hate them all.
Hate all of them. There's not a good Baldwin. Maybe there's one. If there's one that we never hear from, that's probably the good one.
Yeah, like the Jimmy Osmond.
Yeah, like there's just the one that nobody knows.
The one with the lazy
eye. That's probably the good one, because you got the crazy one on TikTok talking weird, and you got the lady pretending she's something else, and Alec just like, I didn't kill anybody, but I'll kill you.
The thing is, Alec is like so entertaining. He's very funny. He's very smart. He's very quick. But then like he and his wife's dynamic is like they're kind of vying for the attention of the camera at that point. It's really fascinating stuff. Mm. I enjoyed it a lot.
Do you guys see that mice give each other mouth-to-mouth resuscitation?
Oh, that's cute. It's nice. They're smart.
Yeah.
They must have learned it in all those labs they're hanging out in all the time.
I guess. But they like have done all these studies, and it's all on video where mice have it so terrible. Like they anesthetize a mouse in front of all their mouse buddies, and most of the time they will come over and like pull their tongue out to clear their airway. And
wow.
Yeah.
That's really impressive.
Yeah. It's more than I would do.
That's pretty cool.
Are you looking it up? Also, I have one friend on TikTok.
Uh-huh.
To be a friend, you have to follow someone, then they have to follow you. Yeah. I'm just talking it through. I know you guys know this.
Yeah.
And I only follow 30 people, mostly news organizations, but the Counting Crows followed me.
What?
Ooh.
Yes. I know.
That's awesome. Is it their official account? Like, it's a verified account?
I mean, I guess.
That's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I got a little, like, red one, and I'm like, oh, what is this crap?
Are you friends?
And I went and looked, and they're like, Counting Crows followed you. Send him a hello.
Did
hi, Adam.
Dave's like, I said
no.
He's like, hi, Adam. It's Dave.
I'm sure it's one of those where they, like, follow everyone
that follows
who follows them.
You can check on the break. That'll be cool. Well, congratulations. I mean, even if they do follow everyone, that's kind of neat. That's one of your favorite bands.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really cool.